time for Vanessa and Gallant.
That sounds good. I'll have that.
Featuring Vanessa Richardson.
This is not a common opinion. This is not a popular opinion.
And Paul Gallant.
I think for the average person that sees me, they don't know that I'm a cat dad.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
Hey guys, happy Tuesday. I'm Vanessa Richardson. My co-host is Paul Gallant. We have Cam behind the glass today producing for us. Hope everybody's doing great as you get up and at them. Maybe already at work. Maybe you're skipping out of work early. Either way, we support you.
You support Canadian tuxedos.
I do. I wear a lot of denim.
You do, clearly.
A lot of denim. Here's the thing. I love denim.
Well, who doesn't love denim?
Paul's just looking at me like, but why do you wear... Okay, there's an actual answer to this. I have a lot of jean jackets.
Listen, I can't talk to anybody about how they're dressed now.
You're wearing a grout fit, all gray.
I am wearing just crap. It is a swamp in my apartment complex because of all the rain yesterday. So I was like, well, this is going to be miserable getting to my car today. So I put on my boots. My boots are tied tight. I hope I don't get in a fight. And here I am talking trash about your wardrobe. But no, you this is back-to-back days to Canadian tuxedos.
This is. It's very 90s. So we may be the best-looking show in town, but we are not the most fashionable.
I've kind of thrown the white flag on that. Well, I used to say that I was, and clearly I'm full of it because I've been dressing like crap for much of the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, I think we're kind of getting in the groove of our show, though. And you know what we're doing? We're putting the content first.
Yes, that's true. We don't care about impressing each other anymore. Right. It's about impressing you guys.
It's like we've been married for a while. but my hair definitely does not get done every day. But I'm kind of enjoying
that. Well, at least
that.
You showered.
I do shower.
Paul has a hat on. What does that mean? Didn't shower.
No shower. All right. So for the past couple of weeks, we've wondered what the AFC South quarterback situation was going to look like. We knew as far as AFC South quarterbacks go that it was going to be Trevor Lawrence with the Jags, Ryan Tannehill with the Titans. But there were some question marks on what exactly the Texans would do with Deshaun Watson. And then, of course, who would be with the Colts, because we knew after some awkward press conferences with Chris Ballard and Frank Reich and some fiery Jim Irsay videos that Carson Wentz was absolutely not coming back. So Wentz is gone. A lot of rumors. We know Baker Mayfield had put in a trade request to Indy. Indy did not want him.
No,
and
they
so
didn't.
So they have Matty Ice coming to my Hoosier State.
Matt Ryan is an upgrade over Carson Wentz. With Matt Ryan, the Colts are a team that I feel like can make the playoffs, can win the AFC South. Because a team that didn't make a move in the AFC South, the Tennessee Titans, are rolling with Ryan Tannehill into next year. And I'm sorry, they're crazy, even with all those injuries, if they think that they're getting the one seed again next season, where they had one less playoff game than theoretically anybody else who would have walked through the AFC, and they still lost at home in a game where they were sacking Joe Burrow left and right. Why? Because Ryan Tannehill pooped his pants. It's kind of what he does in big spots, not to say he's a bad quarterback. So the Colts upgraded and the Titans didn't. So
we're also assuming people that think the Titans will win the AFC South are assuming that Derrick Henry is going to continue upwards. Not saying he's burnt out, but I think that the Colts have a roster with a lot more upside.
The foot injury is always a tricky one. And the Derrick Henry that we saw in that game against Cincinnati was not the Derrick Henry that we have seen in the past. Now, he was coming back from an injury that year, full year of rehab. Maybe it's a totally different conversation. But Vanessa, I've had conversations with former wide receivers who have had that kind of a foot injury, that exact same kind. And they said, look, it's one of those ones where if you do not have it heal in the exact right way, because feet are a little bit complicated, you might never be quite that player again. And Henry did not look as good as Deontay Foreman in that game. And Deontay Foreman, he's no longer with the Tennessee Titans. So, I'm happy that the Titans are taking a step back. I don't like the Colts either. I mean, I basically hate the Colts and the Titans with a passion. But I like where the AFC South is going, because I think the Colts took a step past Tennessee by making this move. And it wasn't really that big of a step. So it's basically, hey, look, we're an 11-win team, a 10-win team, and have taken a step past the top team in the division, because this isn't a very good division.
It definitely gets them to the playoffs, but we know how loaded the AFC is. So how long does it keep them in the playoffs? I don't know. But it at least gets them to where they're probably not going to lose in Jacksonville in spectacular fashion. I think Matt Ryan is absolutely an upgrade. I don't view him as a long-term solution, But I don't think the Colts view him as a long-term solution either. I think that he's definitely an upgrade from Carson Wentz in a lot of ways. I think he's going to handle himself with more poise. I think he's going to be able to step up in big moments, and this is going to be one of the best defenses he's worked with in his career.
No doubt about it.
And so that's going to help them tremendously, and it's going to upgrade his play and his level of play.
But the question is, okay, at this point in his career, how far away is he from that guy that won the MVP
totally.
In 2016 with the Falcons and with Kyle Shanahan coaching him up? I do think that he is in a better situation from a coaching staff perspective, too, because the Falcons have been a bit of a mess ever since Kyle Shanahan left. They brought in Steve Sarkisian, beat offensive coordinator, as most UT fans will tell you, what? That was terrible. And I think also, you know, you just look at the Dan Quinn era. There's a lot of disappointment. They should have been able to do more than they actually did over that tenure, regardless of whether or not Kyle Shanahan was still there. So now, a couple years later, here is Matt Ryan. Do you think Matt Ryan will be better than Phillip Rivers? Because the Colts have been going through quarterback after quarterback the last couple of years.
I do think Matt Ryan is going to be better than Phillip Rivers, but again, it by no stretch of the imagination is a permanent solution. Colts week one starting quarterbacks since 2016. 2016 was Andrew Luck. 2017 was Scott Tolzien. Never forget.
Was it Tolzien or Tolzien?
It was
Tolzien.
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 Not I do know it was not Tolzien.
Tolzien.
16, Andrew Luck. 17, Scott. 2018, Andrew Luck. 2019, Jacoby Brissett. 2020, Phillip Rivers. 2021, Carson Wentz. And we think 2022, of course, will be Matt Ryan. So definitely an upgrade. What's the best analogy for what Matt Ryan joining the Indianapolis Colts is like? Well, on Good Morning Football, I thought that he, Kyle Brandt had a really good analogy for what that was like.
Matt Ryan is the equivalent of screen time for your kids. It's not necessarily the best idea I've ever heard, but it's effective. It pacifies them. It gets the job done. And if you do it right, maybe they learn a little something. So they have screen time, the kids are quiet, they hand the ball off, they play defense, and we'll see if maybe in the post-Matthew Stafford to the Rams world, Matt Ryan to the Colts can get crazy in the AFC. I think the Colts are a better team today than they were yesterday.
I think that sums it up, right? Like, it's not a long-term fix. They're not winning the Super Bowl, but are they going to get further than they did last year? Is it a short-term, better solution than Carson Wentz? Yeah, probably.
Isn't screen time, though, what you give to your kids when you're like, well, damn it, I can't do anything here, so
but
here.
That's where the Colts are. They can't do anything. They're not drafting a quarterback.
Okay.
They didn't want Baker Mayfield, and I know for a fact they did not want Jimmy G because of injury concern.
Okay.
So this was what they had.
Okay,
and that is screen time for your children from what I've heard. I don't have kids, but it's like, hey, we're going to be on this flight. Shut the hell up for 2 hours and watch whatever kids watch, Coco Milan.
Okay, so Coco Milan. So I feel like this is essentially like giving your kids some sort of a drug, right?
I mean, I think screen time coming from Kyle Brandt, who's a father, is probably the better analogy.
Is Kyle Brandt a good father? 713.
Nobody gives their kids drugs.
I mean, look, should parents be giving their kids screen time? I can't say. Because I'm not a dad. I get where he's coming from that. Well, yeah, and guess what? With a cat, you can just ignore them completely, which is the best kind of parenting. I think that's what most people would tell you. I think that hey, we have no options, and we're going to overpay for something because we have no options. We need a house. All the houses on the market are gone. I saw a house, I think this house was in Spring, that went for like $113,000 more than it was actually listed as.
Oh, God.
I saw this on Houston Reddit. I mean, that's what you're getting in Matt Ryan, and I know you didn't overpay for him, but I add the Carson Wentz trade, which you did trade a first-round pick for, into this entire sweepstakes because you've given up a lot over the last couple of years where you could have invested in young talent to bring in quarterbacks, and you know that this guy is just going to be here for a year. Wentz, you thought maybe it would be better than just a year, but now one, two, three. Three quarterbacks in a row. One, a broken, once promising young player. And the others, I mean, this is probably their last thing that they do before retirement.
Yeah. I mean, look, it's not a permanent fix. I think he still has some gas in the tank, but the AFC, with how much it's loaded, you understand why certain quarterbacks, you know, like Aaron Rodgers, stay in the NFC. Because of how brutal anybody that wants to get far in the playoffs how brutal their paths are going to be. So, look, all they had to give up for him was a third-round pick.
Yeah, not that's bad. True. That's not true.
What are some of the things that Bill O'Brien got for a third-round pick? Like Gary and Conley, right?
Well, the Gary and Conley. Did he get Hargreaves for that? I honestly, off the top of my head,
literally help.
If you compare though Matt Ryan to the rest of the quarterbacks in the AFC, because yeah, you're right, you do need a quarterback to compete with all these teams. Josh Allen, to a lesser extent, Mac Jones, Joe Burrow, Deshaun Watson, Lamar Jackson,
Justin Herbert,
Derek Carr, Russell Wilson. Okay, is he better than Derek Carr? No, you just got the eighth or ninth best quarterback in the conference. Is it worth it? Because to me, I wonder.
So you think they should have stuck with Wentz?
No, I don't. That's not what I'm suggesting here. I'm sort of saying, okay, you got a quarterback. Ultimately, what's the point going to be this year? This is sort of where I'm at now with the Texans too. Like, okay. You can actually, I don't get as mad about the idea of embracing the suck like the Killer Bees have been pushing when all of a sudden the quarterback situation is what it is in the AFC. And if you're the Colts, this doesn't help you get the next quarterback. This is a short-term fix. Yeah, your team's good, so I get why you're doing it. But ultimately, is it worth it? Is it worth it to spin the tires on this guy when maybe if, say, your team sucks this coming season, you could find yourself having a top 10 pick and an actual avenue towards a long-term quarterback?
We'll see. Do I think that it will get them far in the playoffs? No, but when you look at some of the plays that Carson Wentz made last year and the things that were just so disastrous about the way he played, it's an upgrade, but certainly not what people in Indianapolis want for a long-term solution.
Which is good for all of us.
That is great for the Texans. And that AFC South, I think it'll be another leg race between the Titans and the Colts.
It's Titans and the Colts, but I do think the Colts took a step up on Tennessee. What that means, I mean, this is such a just garbage division.
It means yay, first round. All right, coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, there's an update on the Deshaun Watson trade, plus some interesting tidbits that came out of an article in The Athletic. That's next.
ESPN 97.5.
We'll be right back after this break.
You're back with Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 at 92.5 from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
All right, thanks for listening. I'm Vanessa Richardson. I am at Sports Vanessa on social media. He is at Gallant Says. And listen, not everybody was happy with the trade for Deshaun Watson. There were some people that wanted players, some people that thought that there would be more. Yesterday, we got the final update of the trade via ESPN and NFL Network. And the Texans did get a little more.
Mm-hmm.
What did they get?
They ended up getting, instead of just 5 picks, they got 6. They get, in this coming draft, a first and a fourth. It's Detroit's fourth-round pick, so it's a nicer fourth-round pick. It's close to a third-round pick. In 23, they'll get a first and a third, and in 24, they'll get a first and a fourth. They were going to, I think, get a fifth instead of that fourth in either 22 or 24. So there you go, and you're only giving up a 2024 sixth-round pick instead of a fifth-round pick. Huzzah! It doesn't really change
the
equation that much.
It wasn't that different. But it's good for Nick Caserio.
Yeah, it's... Look, I think as we get further away from the trade, we might feel a little bit differently about went down. I know that that's definitely possible with me, Vanessa. I'm just glad that it is over with and that they got 3 first-round picks.
Yeah.
I understand that, yes, this coming season, maybe the Browns are good. The first-round pick that you got from them isn't that good. But at the same time, I would also look at it with the perspective of, okay, yeah, but the Browns might also not have Watson for half of this coming season due to a suspension, and that might put them in a spot where they're going to be drafting in the middle of the first round. Ideal, no. You would like to have a top 5 pick, but the good news is that over the next 2 seasons, say you want Bryce Young in next year's draft, you're going to have 4 first-round picks to work with. So if you want to trade up, you're going to be able to package those picks together and potentially move up if you really want someone like that, and if you don't, you can trade back, you can accumulate picks, and you can try to build up this roster, which does not have much of anything.
I like what Nick Caserio did here. I think he handled the situation absolutely the best that he could. And none of this mess, of course, is his fault, but it is his responsibility to clean it up. And I feel like he's taking that seriously. But Deshaun Watson, of course, officially with the Cleveland Browns now. And there was a really interesting article in The Athletic by Jason Lloyd in Cleveland. And it really gave a lot of insight into the moves that were made and not only what happened, but kind of how it happened. This was something I was curious about, just because I think that when you take inventory from the entire situation, how many teams were interested in somebody that had all of these allegations against them is interesting to me for obvious reasons. And how far they got. Was it just an inquiry and then a no? Or like in the case of the Colts, was it a, okay, well, Deshaun would go there, but they won't trade within the division. So per Jason Lloyd of The Athletic, the Browns were one of 13 teams to express interest in Watson, who held a full no-trade clause, of course, which left him in control. He reviewed the rosters of all 13 and submitted a list of five for which he was willing to waive his no-trade clause. The Texans eliminated one of his five teams, which we believe to be the Colts, because they were within the division. Actually, we know to be the Colts. Meaning the final four were the Panthers, Saints, Falcons, and, of course, the Browns. So, five that he approved and that he would have waived his no-trade clause for, that's actually more than I thought Deshaun would. Just because of where he was at and how specific he had wanted to be. But I guess that shows that he really did want out of town. And the other thing that stood out is that the roster mattered so much to him. And we knew the roster would matter to a certain extent, but how often did we hear in the beginning that it was about the city, that it was about the climate, that it was about the lifestyle?
Right.
Ended up being good old-fashioned football.
Yeah, and if you continue to read the piece, Watson supposedly knew Cleveland was the best fit and gave him the best opportunity to win right away. But he eliminated them because he had never been to Cleveland outside of that game where the power
went out.
It
was a disaster. I was there. Yeah,
and
not good.
He had reservations, though, about eliminating Cleveland as quickly as he did, we found out in this story. And I found that notable. 13 teams interested in him. Now, again, varying offers were sent. But, you know, we just listed some of the quarterbacks that are in the AFC now. And it seems like half of the AFC has a quarterback that they are okay with. So nearly half the league was willing, or at least thinking, about kicking the tires on somebody with 22 civil suits against him for sexual misconduct. There is no morality in the NFL.
No, I mean, there's 13 of those teams.
Right. 13. I found that to be striking. I guess I'm not that surprised by it, though. Vanessa, something else I found interesting in it. Yeah, we heard that the Browns did their homework, and we all think that they're full of it. But while they didn't speak with Tony Busby, they did speak with three female attorneys associated with Harden's defense team. And they were the women who vetted Watson on whether or not to take the case. They went to Georgia. They spent 2 days with him. This reads in a way where, oh, yeah, they actually did their due diligence. I'm still of the opinion that if you hire Rusty Harden, how much vetting is really being done? You know, if you're hiring Rusty Harden, I'm assuming you are doing that with the mindset that Harden is going to take the case. Because Harden does not seem to care about the kind of clients that he brings on.
No, he's known for, I mean, he gets it done.
Right. So that part of it, I read it and I kind of chuckled because I just thought to myself, okay, they vetted him, sure.
I think, so Deshaun Watson is supposed to meet with the media either late this week or early next week. There has not been a date set yet.
Nothing announced, right, because they got to prepare for that. It's going to be a disaster.
It's going to be a major preparation process. And one of the things that I think needs to be asked, and this is like regardless of how you feel about anything, but for curiosity's sake, if the Browns did a quote-unquote full investigation, why didn't they talk to any of the women or Tony Busby? That's not a full investigation.
They didn't want the answers. I mean, would you? If you were in their shoes and you want this guy and you're morally bankrupt, I mean, you're trying to improve your football team, would you actually want to hear from them? Because isn't that going to change your opinion?
Well, they could have at least tried.
I know they could have tried.
They could have at least tried.
But would you have, again, though, would you have wanted to? Like, put yourself in their shoes for a second. I know it's easy for all of us to sit here high and mighty, and I'm not acting like I'm looking down on those who would act all high and mighty. I'm just saying, put yourself in their shoes. You're the Cleveland Browns. to the Browns. You're a joke.
Paul Gallant has empathy.
Put yourself in their shoes. Would you actually want to find out what they had to say?
We could wrap. We've talked about, Paul and I have had a lot of deep talks about like rationalization and how you can kind of rationalize everything.
Pretty much.
And that's, yeah.
Yeah.
The whole world, it's gray. You know,
1194 on the text line says the women didn't want to talk to the NFL. We're talking about separate things here. The women may not have all wanted to talk to the NFL investigators. This is not the NFL investigation. This is the Cleveland Browns individually reaching out to these women or lack thereof.
But to that texter's point, they might not have wanted to talk to them either.
Could be, but they didn't try.
I also think if I were in their shoes, I don't think I would want to help out. Either.
The women, you don't think...
Well, I mean, imagine you're getting... Like, you know the depositions that we would imagine right. would be just all sorts of questions that are very pointed and, like, asking horrible things
and
like, oh, how short was your skirt while you were giving right. the massage? Like,
you
crap
also
like that.
Probably know that your answer doesn't matter. Like, you know that they're going to trade for this quarterback anyway, so what's the point?
The rest of the meeting, apparently, was all about Stefanski and Watson. And, yeah, the money, again, the money's the big deal here. That whole piece about The Athletic is really interesting. The reason Watson took this deal is the $230 million. But it was interesting to note that the meeting was essentially just Watson and Stefanski, for the most part, talking with one another. Watson told Stefanski he wants to be coached hard. Kind of makes sense as to why he would have liked Bill O'Brien, that'll never get offended by coaching. And he liked that they were taking notes of all of the things that Watson was asking about them. So he was interviewing the Browns just as much as the Browns were interviewing him.
Deshaun asked, and this is according to the article, what he could do better. And I guess Kevin Stefanski said, carry out your fakes better.
Yeah. And then he's like, ha, 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 that's what my 10th grade coach used
yeah,
to tell me.
Yeah, well, then clean it up, bud.
What a chuckle fest in this story.
No, I mean, it seems like they hit it off for sure. And Kevin Stefanski is one of those hard coaching guys. And I love that you brought up that that's why he liked Bill O'Brien. Mm-hmm. I mean, Deshaun Watson wants to be coached. So it's a complete roster. It is a good roster. And look, they're going to have to navigate these waters. And Andrew Berry and Kevin Stefanski and the Haslams are going to have to answer for a lot. But if we know one thing, it's that winning cures all. So if Deshaun Watson can take them to more playoff games than Baker Mayfield did, I think all will be forgiven in Cleveland.
We do have a phone call on this. 713-780-3776. 713-780-ESPN. Let's go to Chris. Chris, what's up? Chris?
I just had a quick question. You know, is there anything stopping him from basically doing the same thing he just did here in Houston to basically play for maybe 6 months or serve the suspension and say, oh, I don't want to be here no more? I'll hang up and listen.
Ooh. You mean, oh, do the same thing as far as want out of Cleveland? That's a great call. Appreciate that. And I think the answer is no.
The thing that I have not seen is a no trade clause. And I've looked to see if there are details of a no trade clause in this contract as well. Here's the thing. If you're Cleveland, it's $230 million guaranteed. I don't know if Cleveland would be able to ship him. And also, if you're Watson and all of this money is guaranteed to you, do you want to risk that and force your way out of town? It is a good question. I mean, theoretically, he could do it, but I just guess I can't see him doing it, you know?
I think more will be revealed about 2 years in.
I think
the first year is going to be, what's the suspension? Let's get acclimated. Let's get adjusted. Let's get used to Kevin Stefanski, the offensive coordinator. I think that second year, there will be no patience because Deshaun will then be in his late 20s. And will want to win. So I think more will be revealed after the second year.
Why? Because you're late 20s. It's all downhill from there.
No! Not at all. I always say, people say 30 is old. 30 is not old.
Vanessa, speaking with the mindset of a 26-year-old. Listen, you need to win in your 20s because when you turn 30, you die. That was you right there. That's at least how I took it.
Yikes.
Because
you're self-conscious.
Well, yeah. I turned 33 next month. Like, this is scary. Very scary. It's all downhill for me. It actually is. I want to win now.
All this Watson
stuff doesn't matter, though, because I'm 33.
Will be pointless when the season starts. No, I mean, I don't think it'll be quite pointless. I get what 0061 is saying, but I do think he's going to have to serve a suspension of some sort.
Yeah, if he doesn't serve a suspension, I would be shocked. I mean, that would be a massive failure by the NFL. I mean, Goodell loves taking it. He sort of seems to relish his ass getting booed at the NFL draft for some reason. So I'm sure he would be willing to be, you know, the Batman at the end of The Dark Knight. But if they don't suspend him, they're going to look really bad. And this is a league that always looks bad.
All right, coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, what will the Texans do in the draft? Plus, how Matt Ryan going to Indianapolis affects kind of the quarterback carousel per se. That's next.
This is Heisman Trophy winner, College Hall of Fame, Billy Sims, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
We get fired.
Why?
I almost cussed on air.
You're a TV professional. You're going to be fine.
I've never cussed on air.
I have.
Have you really?
Yes, and I haven't even known I've cussed on air half the time.
Oh, because?
I'll say words like the F word as a filler, and I won't even know that I'm saying it.
You know the tough thing for you is that you do so much podcasting and twitching where you can say whatever, and then you come on traditional airwaves where you can't.
My mom's told me I need to tone it down on those.
Oh.
On the Twitch, on the podcast. She actually is right. I like swearing, but I'm 33 years old. It's not fourth grade at St. Paul's Elementary anymore where I'm like, yeah, I'm cool. I swear. Who are you?
Yeah.
You know, I probably got to tone it down a little bit.
You with your rich Catholic kid schools?
Yeah. St. Paul's wasn't the rich kid school. Their academy was the K-Peter
school. I went to
school.
A public school in Terre Haute, Indiana, so any private schools, rich to me.
I like how you put the accent in there just to really sell it.
What will the Texans do in the draft, Paul? So many needs on this roster. And, of course, we want to hear what you guys have to say. So tweet us. I'm at Sports Vanessa. He's at Paul Gallant, at Gallant Says on Twitter. Wow, that was tough words. And then you can reach out to us on Twitch, or you can text us at 713-780-3776. Nailed it!
And you can do it again, 713-780-ESPN. We do have an interesting text that we want to get to in a moment. But to answer your question that you asked right there. Okay, so I feel like Nick Caserio, being from the Patriots, is going to want to trade back. And I don't blame him for wanting to trade back because you got so many things that you need to add to this roster. There's really not anything here outside of Brandon Cooks and Laremy Tunsil. That is all that you have right now. So I would be in favor of them trading back. I saw that they're going to have a meeting with Aiden Hutchinson, who is not going to work out for anybody anymore after there was an injury to a Michigan player. He tore his Achilles. That sucked. At his pro day. And also, they're going to talk to a tackle as well. I feel like they should be open to just about every single position. And if I had to make a pick in that third spot, someone who is not an NFL draft scout like our own Lance Zierlein, who does the morning show, The Bench, from 7 to 10 here, I would go with Kyle Hamilton because I feel like Hamilton, of all the guys, seems like the one who has the most talent. I want the most talented players I can get. I'm in no rush to get an offensive tackle for a theoretical quarterback because that's a boomer bust position. Pass rusher, same thing. Very big-time boomer bust position. Yeah, there's no sure things in the NFL draft. We learned that the hard way with Aaron Curry about a decade ago, who was like the most sure thing that I think.
Oh, there are busts, all right. Kyle Hamilton is my pick, by the way, too.
You like Kyle Hamilton?
I like Kyle Hamilton, but that's assuming, of course, that the Texans keep that pick. Nick Caserio has said that he is up for anything, that they're keeping an open mind. You know, the typical Nick Caserio answer, but I believe him.
I think they'll trade out. I mean, and now that they have two first-round picks as well, I mean, think about where you could end up trading back to in the first round. There's probably going to be somebody who slips from the first and the second spot that maybe you could get back. You have teams that are in the top 10 right now, like the New York Jets and the New York Giants, who have multiple first-round picks early on, who I think would be definitely willing to potentially trade up, say there is somebody there that they want. I think the Jets are definitely going to be looking for offensive line help. I'm not sure if they know what they have in Mekhi Becton, who's been dealing with a lot of injuries over the last couple of years. And in the case of the Giants, too, the Giants might like a quarterback. Because really, they're going into next year with Daniel Jones as the guy. I mean, if they like Malik Willis and they feel like, okay, we're not sure he's going to fall to us.
Malik Willis is the one quarterback. You know, people talk about this not being a strong quarterback draft class, and I agree with that. Malik Willis is the one that has shown enough spurts and enough possible upside to where I think a team like the Giants could look at him and say, this could be a guy that maybe he turns out to be something. Maybe we can mold him into what we want. Mm-hmm. You know, he's not a sure thing. He's not a Bryce Young like next year. But he's the one that I could see teams doing that with over any of the other quarterbacks.
Someone will talk themselves into him or Kenny Pickett, who at his pro day has bigger hands than were measured at the NFL
combine. Stretch it out, guys. It makes a difference.
I haven't measured my hands
fingers,
yet.
Of course, I mean.
Okay. Well, I have never measured my hands. I don't want to know. I don't want to know the answer. I'm holding them out as big as I can right now. Twitch.tv/ESPN975. I mean, they look kind of big.
But I always thought it was the foot size that was.
Oh, I got big feet. I got big feet, Vanessa.
So do.
Which means big boots.
Does hand size matter in women's opinion? For.
I don't know. You're the woman here.
I had always heard it was feet size.
Feet size and things may be related. They may not be related.
But I guess if you're an NFL quarterback, it's all about the hands. I do feel for him though because it's. I do feel for him though because. If everybody is talking about a specific body part that much being like small feet. And like demasculating you, that probably blows.
And you like the big guys, so I'm assuming that at your quarterback prospects, you like the big guys with the big feet and the big hands.
I just like somebody that I think can handle me.
With big hands, that would help.
And that will eat. I don't want somebody that's going to like wake up and work out at 4 a.m.
Oh, okay. Well,
like I want somebody that's motivated but not crazy
just
motivated.
Just taking shots at me. No. Although I didn't work out today because there's too much. I was scared.
And you
by
haven't
all the
showered, okay? So well, it's you're not
it's
that
fine.
Pretty.
It's okay. I'm pretty. I'm wearing like the shirt of a dynastic hockey champion, the Tampa Bay Lightning. So how about that? And an Astros hat. So I'm winning.
You do
winning. Look. I'm wearing winning right now.
Pollock's adorable.
We did have a text that I wanted to get to, and it had to do with something we didn't touch on yesterday. I'm glad they brought this to our attention because honestly, I just forgot. But. Trevor Bauer, over the weekend, congratulated Deshaun Watson on getting, I guess, out of Houston.
Can't wait to watch you play again. Happy to see the NFL and their franchises are allowing you to continue your career after all the BS and lies you've been through recently. Onward and upward, the game is more fun with you in it.
So Trevor Bauer is making it about himself without officially making it about himself here, which is just classic Trevor Bauer. That is Trevor Bauer. He is an online troll who masquerades as a baseball player. This tweet has some inaccuracies here. You're going to continue your career after all the BS and lies you've been through recently? What is the BS? What are the lies? Can you point to any of them? Where has any of the allegations that have been put up? And maybe down the road it will be, but what has been pointed to as BS and lies at this point? There are 22 civil lawsuits against him. Are we going to say right now that all 22 of those are full of it? And he's on administrative leave, Trevor Bauer, in baseball after allegations of assault and abusive behavior. He's just making this about himself without directly making it about himself. It's tone deaf and it's stupid, but it's not surprising coming from him.
Yeah, I mean, he's the thing is, before these allegations against Trevor Bauer, which are monstrous, he was always obnoxious and a troll and just somebody that seemed like you wanted to just kind of punch in the face if you were ever in the same room as him. But he's definitely making it all about himself, and this led to a lot of tweets that were basically like, hey, sometimes in life, you don't have to say anything at all.
But Twitter happened,
yeah.
And now we all feel like we do have to say something.
How is the quarterback situation in the NFL impacted by Matt Ryan? Baker Mayfield had wanted to go to Indianapolis. Indy did not want Baker Mayfield. They instead went with somebody that joined the league when Baker was 13 years old. They went with Matt Ryan instead. It was rumored Jimmy Garoppolo to Indianapolis and a couple of other places, but I know that teams are concerned about possibly his shoulder.
Right.
What, you know, is there a possible opening for
he's
somebody with, the,
traded,
with the Panthers? So how do you think that goes down?
I bet Garoppolo doesn't get traded if he does get traded until like August or something like that, because I think teams want to see whether or not he can still throw it. I think it's Matt Maiocco who covers the San Francisco 49ers. I think for NBC Sports, he said essentially, yeah, like right now, no one really wants Jimmy Garoppolo. The Seahawks are the only team that I think could potentially trade for Baker Mayfield. And if the Seahawks are smart about this, the Browns have to get rid of him. And the Browns think to themselves that they're going to get a first-round pick for Baker Mayfield. So I'm glad that, okay, the Browns got Deshaun Watson. They get $230 million. They pay him. They have no soul for a quarterback that is likely going to make their team a whole lot better than they've ever been. But they still have to deal with this mess. And it sounds like they might actually have to trade a draft pick to get rid of Baker Mayfield, because that's reportedly what one team that was called about Baker Mayfield said, like, hey, we'll take Baker Mayfield in his contract. You just have to give us a draft pick along the way. And honestly, if I'm any team right now, that would be my move, because what leverage do the Browns have at this point in time? they butchered the situation with Baker Mayfield. It's not like it's a massive catastrophe for them or anything like that, or it's something that's creating a massive cap havoc for them too at this point in time. Clearly, they figured a way to work the Deshaun Watson contract underneath the salary cap, but I think it's pretty funny that that's probably what they're going to have to do. They're going to have to get a draft pick to some other team in the same way that the Texans had to trade a second-round pick to get Brock Osweiler's contract off the books and send it to Cleveland. Karma, baby.
The other thing is with Baker Mayfield, I know that he thinks that he's a top-tier quarterback, but he has not shown that he is elite enough to demand what he wants and where he wants to go. I mean, by putting it out there through his reps or his marketing agent that he wanted to go to Indy, he legitimately thought that it was like, okay, well then go to Indy. That's not how it works for people like you that are unproven.
You need a no-trade clause to even have a smidgen of leverage in that situation. And he doesn't have that because he's still on the rookie contract. I'm with you. Look, that's an unwritten rule. That would be an unwritten rule of sports, Vanessa, that we could put into place where you have to be, if we're going to make a comparison to, you know, video games, you know how in Madden or in NBA 2K, your player overall is like on a scale of 1 to 100.
Right.
Okay, so Baker Mayfield probably at this point in time is like a 76 or a 77. If you're going to demand something, you got to be like an 85 or above in whatever sport that you play. And he's not that. He's not. He's coming off of a year where he played poorly. He was tough, sure, but the Browns sucked, and they were the biggest disappointment in the AFC. Who do you point the finger at for that? You point it at Baker Mayfield.
All right, Baker, we like you, but we'll see if you can land where you want to go. All right, coming up, a Rockets recap plus, should athletes be able to react so strongly to fans? That's next.
My name is Bob Lee, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Vanessa and Gallant continues on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
Hey, Rockets took on the Wizards last night.
They did.
Great game for Christian Wood. Jalen Green, 17.6 rebounds and 5 assists for the rookie. Christian Wood, pretty unbelievable game.
39 points.
Yeah.
10 boards, rebounds. 14 of 18 from the field. 8 of 9 from 3. Look, the Wizards suck.
They are not good.
And I see this game, and I know that some of the psychotic Red Rowdy Rocket fans online are going to be like, yeah, Christian Wood, Alperen Sengun, Jalen Green, this is the core that's going to turn things around. And I would just say, in the case of Christian Wood, I don't like it. I mean, look, he played great last night. That's the best game I think he'll ever play in his life. And it's against the Wizards. I'm not trying to take away from it too much. I kind of don't want to see good Christian Wood games because I want the Rockets to clearly make this all about Jalen Green going forward.
I think that
KPJ and Christian Wood, I would like to see elsewhere.
Yeah, it's a process for Rockets fans because they've been so bad, but then they do show these spurts, and they came back from a huge deficit last night. Yeah, so good for them on that.
Down 21 in the second.
I like Steven Silas a lot. I like Rafael Stone a lot, and I know that the guys in that roster, I think they really believe in them. But yeah, I mean, when this is the highlight of a couple of weeks of Rockets games, you do wonder.
I want more of the Jalen Green
right.
nights. Jalen Green has actually shown some confidence
absolutely
over the last couple of weeks, and I feel like that is a really good sign going forward. And there's a part of me that looks at these other guys who I don't feel like would be in agreement that Jalen Green is the centerpiece of this team. And I would say that that's Kevin Porter Jr., who's been playing less recently, which I think that is a smart move. That is a move in the right direction. But a game like this from Christian Wood, I feel like this just means Christian Wood's going to think to himself, oh, yeah, I'm just going to jack up threes like I'm Antoine Walker back in 2003.
Eric Gordon was looking good from the three-point range. He had missed three games due to illness, but he had 15 points in 25 minutes. So, yeah, things came together for them nicely against not a very good Wizards team, but we'll take what we can get.
That has been Talking Rockets in the post-James Harden era, and sorry.
Woo! All right, the Nurk.
Nurkic.
Nurkic was not happy last night. He threw a fan's phone when the fan was getting up in his face. And if you want to see this video, it's really easy. You can just search it on Twitter. Should players and players, athletes, etc., and we want your input on this, should they be able to react so strongly when somebody like a fan who in this case was sitting courtside, gets in their face, up in their grill, as Paul Wall may say. I'm never going to say that again. Should athletes and coaches and of the sort be able to react like that?
Well, it's tricky in basketball compared to any other sport because you're
so close.
You're right there. And I know that some of these fans are paying a ton of money to sit up there, and I guess it's their right to be a jackass if they want to be. I would just say be careful about the lines that you tightrope across. And in this situation, I don't know what led up to Nurkic coming over, taking the phone out of the kid's hand, and throwing it. I will say that the kid didn't back down, even though Nurkic could have probably, you know, pulled him apart at the waist like Omni-Man or something like that. But if you look at something else that's been happening recently, Russell Westbrook should not have opened the can of worms of, hey, Westbrook is hurting me and my family.
Like, making me sad.
He shouldn't have done that, in that now it called attention to people to do it to him all the time. But what I have noticed recently is that there are people that are taking cell phone videos of their interactions with Westbrook, and they look like absolute losers. There was one I saw where a person came up to Westbrook and they were acting like they were being friendly when they were right in front of Westbrook. Like, look, man, I'm just trying to have a conversation with you. And then he walks away and he starts calling Westbrook a clown. I'm like, Westbrook would kill you if he could. Like, Westbrook is not someone that I actually would want to mess with.
Fight, right.
If I'm in a crowd and I'm making a chant with a bunch of other people, I feel safety in numbers chanting Westbrook. But if I'm going to do it face-to-face, and then all of a sudden there's another video I saw of a fan who was courtside who was recording Westbrook and said, hey, Westbrook, what's up, man? How you doing, man? And the guy, and Westbrook came over and said, what'd you call me? And then he said, Westbrook. I called you Westbrook. And he clearly didn't. There's a line that we need to, I think, establish. When you're doing it to the point of, hey, now I want this person to get into my face, don't be surprised if
when they
bad
get in your
things
face.
Happen.
Yeah.
Right.
When you, I always say this with people, too, because people do this all the time. It's in relationships, friendships. You see it on social media where people continuously poke at somebody. And they poke, and they poke, and they poke. And then when the person finally reacts, they're like, hey, get a load of this guy. So emotional. It's like, that's what you wanted, right?
Right, exactly.
Like, you wanted to elicit the response. When you get the response, here it is.
I think the people that are recording it are pretty lame. If you're going to do it, then do it in a manner where you're not recording it. You're just doing it. You're having fun. You're booing. You're jeering. Who hasn't done that at a game before? But if the guy's going to get up in your face, I mean, that is the line that you are tightroping across. I have no problem with the guy getting in their face. If it gets violent, look, you're
an
athlete.
Yeah, like, we don't want Nurk to throw a punch.
Right. You're an athlete. You're bigger than this person.
But he threw the phone. Is it okay that he threw the phone?
I guess not. Right?
I say technically it's not okay, but if we're going by the Vanessa Richardson rule of life, which is F around and find out. If you want to F around and then you want to find out, find out. So I'm actually not, just because it's a Pacers, like, totally, I don't know Nurk at all, but I'm on team Nurk here. Throw the phone. F around, find out.
Yeah. I mean, what did you think was going to happen in whatever situation led up to that? It is his phone. I mean, I suppose if you're willing to pay the price of said phone and you're a basketball player, you probably could. Then do it. But I feel like you should have to buy that person a new phone, probably.
I'm sure that the Pacers or Nurk will buy somebody a new phone.
Probably.
But I don't think
Nurk will. I bet the Pacers will.
It's the Hoosier hospitality, guys.
Yeah, so it's been happening a lot recently, and I get why the players react the way that they did. And I think it is, in a way, somewhat BS to tell a player to stop. Just calm down. This isn't that big of a deal.
Don't ever tell me to calm down.
And,
yeah.
I mean, you're not going to get that person to feel any better, because feelings don't care about your facts. You could say to this person, you're a millionaire athlete that's one of the best players in NBA history. This person's a nobody who probably snuck up from the upper level to get down to these seats or something like that.
3970 on the text line says, not surprising, Vanessa likes someone who eats. Yeah, I like someone who eats.
Mm.
If we go out, well, yeah, well, that too. But if we go out to dinner, like, I want to know that. I want to know that you're actually going to, like, consume a hamburger or wings or eat with me.
Well, yeah.
Don't take me to somewhere called, like, Fig and Branch, where it's vegan and it's $45 for a piece of lettuce.
Well, that sounds terrible.
It does. No. But being from the East Coast, you know there are people like that.
Yes, I know. Well, wait, hang on. We're all on the East Coast? Why are we on the East Coast?
Some on the West Coast. The women don't eat in L.A.
That's a West Coast thing. That is definitely not an East Coast thing. East Coast, we eat sandwiches.
Yeah, that's true.
We eat bread. You know, we eat subs. The West Coast is where things get weird.
I just say that when I read that on air, I did not. Like, I was thinking, not surprising,
that's why
Vanessa likes
the
man who eats. Because I was like, well, of course I like a man that eats. Like, we're talking about how I like bigger guys and how I like guys that'll take me to dinner. I did not.
Right. You're talking about guys who eat a lot of food.
That was not.
There's no innuendo at all. None.
That's actually.
That's why I didn't read the text.
Believe it or not, that was not intentional. And now I am red in the face. All right. Coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, things are going well today. Deshaun
Watson.
Do you
like eating too?
Is gone. And a new quarterback in the AFC South. But will it actually change anything? That's coming up.
ESPN 97.5.